Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. For decades, the United States Department of Agriculture has posted inspection reports and other records detailing animal treatment at everything from zoos to dog breeding operations. On February 3rd, the USDA abruptly removed the data. Although some data has been restored, most of what was scrubbed remains in the dark. The decision has triggered a lawsuit against the USDA. This hour, we talk about what is known about the decision to remove the data and why it matters to animal welfare organizations and others. The USDA declined an invitation to participate in the conversation. We also invited two animal enterprise organizations, the Cavalry Group and Protect the Harvest, which supported the action by the FDA. They also declined. Joining us now by phone is Columbus Dispatch Metro reporter Alyssa Widman-Neese. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
Alyssa, the website wasn't shut down. It was purged, right?
Right. The website is still active with a small number of reports restored, but the searchable database that so many people relied on for years just comes up with a small error message now when you try to go to where that was located.
What sort of data was purged from the USDA?
It's a wide range of information. It was inspection reports from more than 9,000 zoos, research laboratories, dog breeders, circuses, and other federally regulated entities, and that includes more than 400 facilities here in Ohio. That was everything from the routine inspections that happened, on a schedule, as well as investigations of some major incidents that happened. One thing that comes to mind is, the story that was a huge international story from Cincinnati about Harambe the gorilla who was shot and killed. So it was a great range of things that people relied on there.
And as far as why it was posted in the first place, was that by law or was that at a convenience that the USDA was providing a service?
It's sort of debated why exactly it was posted. Some will say that part of the Electronic Freedom of Information Act mandates it. That's mm-hmm. what some of the animal rights groups are saying during their arguments of this. But it's my understanding that part of it also stems from a past lawsuit that the Humane Society of the United States filed against the USDA. And part of the settling of that was an agreement that these records would be available online.
The USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service cited court rulings and privacy laws, as well as a year-long, what they called a comprehensive review, as the main reason the site was shut down. Was former USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack ready to do this anyway, and it just happened on the dawning of the Trump administration?
That's another thing that's kind of disputed right now. I know that the message that comes up on the website when you try to go on that database page states that this decision was made, the beginning of it started last year, well before the current administration took office. It makes a point to say that. Mm-hmm. But some animal rights advocacy groups are also trying to pinpoint this on a lawsuit that was filed regarding Tennessee walking horses. Some violation reports were put up regarding a procedure called soaring, which harms the hoofs of the horses, and some people who were in violation of that who had records posted with their names and addresses sued the USDA and asked to get those taken down. That case, since the records have been removed, has actually been pulled.
Oh, really?
So,
okay.
Yeah, that was just a recent development, which is kind of making some people connect the dots there and pin it on that. But I think really most of all, everyone is just trying to look for answers to understand this step backwards. As you said, these records had been posted for years, and to suddenly do this during a transition period of administrations, it does raise some questions that I think people ultimately just want to have answered, and right now they're not happy with the answers they're getting.
We are talking about the United States Department of Agriculture's decision on February 3rd to purge records, inspection reports, and other records detailing animal treatment in everything from zoos to laboratories to dog breeding operations from its website. Some of the data has been restored. Most of what was scrubbed remains in the dark. Coming up, we're going to hear from animal rights organizations about this development. The USDA declined an invitation to participate in our conversation, and we invited two animal enterprise organizations, the Cavalry Group and Protect the Harvest. Both of them supported the action by the FDA. They also declined. With me right now is Alyssa Widman-Neese. She's a Columbus Dispatch Metro reporter who has covered this issue. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. That comprehensive review, what do we know about that? Has that been made public?
No, aside from the short message that is available online, as well as a few statements I received from a USDA spokeswoman, Tanya Espinoza, there hasn't really been much information released. It was specified by Tanya that this decision isn't impacting how the agency is enforcing laws and how these inspections are happening. They're still going on. We just can't see it. But I didn't get any information regarding how this review is going to take place, what standards they're using to make it. It's all very, quite frankly, very vague and unclear what's happening.
You reported last month that a number of animal welfare advocates believe that the lack of transparency could put animals at risk and leave abuse unchecked. As you said, the purge hasn't necessarily affected the regulations out there, but it affects the public's ability to oversee what the government's doing.
Correct.
The Association of Zoos and Aquariums, which represents the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium, released a statement saying that the USDA decision makes it impossible to distinguish law-abiding facilities from poorly run breeding farms and roadside zoos and menageries. What are they getting at there?
What they are saying is to be a member of the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, like the Columbus Zoo, you're not only adhering to laws that are in place, you're taking your standards to the next level. Any zoo or aquarium that wants to have a stellar reputation is going to be a member of this organization, and you know, pass inspections with flying colors. And what the Columbus Zoo and other zoo members are saying is, without these reports being available in a timely fashion, it's impossible to know if the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium is following these procedures and, you know, keeping everything in check. And they're proud of the fact that they're doing that. They want these records to be available. I believe the statement from the Association of Zoos and Aquariums actually said the only zoos or other agencies that are going to be okay with this information being hidden are the ones who have something to hide.
So the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, they access this data too to pass judgment on members.
I believe so.
Yeah.
I believe that this is something that even dog breeders use this information, or pet stores rather, use mm-hmm. this information to assess the dog breeders that they're getting their pets from. So there are many, many people who rely on this outside of just your everyday taxpayer who use this information for very important things. Yes.
The USDA has restored, as we mentioned earlier, some of the data that was purged. Have they given any kind of timeline or any explanation for how more might be restored over time?
Not to my knowledge. The information that I had said that it was just an ongoing review, that the information that's posted now may not be the only information that's posted, but they're still trying to determine what's appropriate for reposting. Currently, all that is available is a small number of reports regarding research facilities that are owned by the government. And what has been emphasized by the animal welfare groups is most research facilities are private, so that information is just a small fraction of what they want. They say it isn't sufficient.
From what I understand, there were already long delays in processing federal Freedom of Information requests from the USDA. And that's according to Doug Haddix of Investigative Reporters and Editors. And he told National Geographic that this could slow them down even more.
Yes, that's a concern I heard multiple times as well. I was told it can take months or even years to process a FOIA request, often at a cost to the person requesting it. So a fear is that in making all of these reports only accessible through those requests, it's just going to bog down the process even more.
Well, Alyssa Widman-Neese, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate your time.
Not a problem. It was great talking with you.
So Alyssa Widman-Neese, she's a Columbus Dispatch Metro reporter covering the issue of the USDA purging its website of most of the data regarding inspections of all kinds of animal organizations, everything from zoos to roadside menageries to laboratories and puppy breeders. We'll be back with more. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. For decades, the United States Department of Agriculture has posted inspection reports and other records detailing animal treatment at everything from zoos to dog breeding operations to laboratories. On February 3rd, the USDA abruptly removed that data. Although some has been restored, most of what was scrubbed remains in the dark. The decision has triggered a lawsuit against the USDA. This hour, we talk about what is known about the decision to remove the data and why it matters to animal welfare organizations. The USDA declined an invitation to participate in this conversation. We also invited two animal enterprise organizations, the Cavalry Group and Protect the Harvest, which supported the action by the FDA. They also declined our invitation. Joining us now by phone is the senior director of the Stop Puppy Mills campaign at the Humane Society of the United States, John Goodwin. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Also joining us by phone is staff attorney for the Animal Legal Defense Fund, Christopher Berry. Christopher, welcome.
Thanks for having me on as well.
Christopher, the Animal Legal Defense Fund a few weeks ago sued the USDA. What does the lawsuit claim?
Well, the Animal Legal Defense Fund, along with a coalition of a few other organizations, sued the USDA to challenge the purge of the records from the website and its refusal to affirmatively disclose records going into the future. According to the lawsuit, the USDA's decision to do this...
Hello, Christopher? Okay. We have lost Christopher. We'll get him back. In the meantime, I have John Goodwin with me. He's director of the Stop Puppy Mills campaign with the Humane Society of the United States. John, the Humane Society uses the federal records as well as state inspection reports to publish its annual Horrible 100 dog breeding operations that have been cited for animal welfare violations. Tell us a little bit about the Horrible 100 and whether it can continue without the data that's been purged from the USDA website.
Sure. Well, the Horrible 100 report is something that we do put out annually that documents conditions at 100 select problem puppy mills around the country. And we are heavily reliant on the USDA inspection reports for putting this report together. Now, going forward, we're just going to have to see. I mean, there are some state records that are available, but only in states that have a commercial dog breeding law that requires for these places to be licensed and regularly inspected. I mean, if you don't have regular inspections, then there's not going to be an inspection report. So without the national records, it's very, very difficult to, you know, get a full view of what's going on out there. So we'll just have to see. I mean, we want to continue putting that sort of information out. Also, we're going to continue to pressure the USDA, whether it be through the Court of Public Opinion, Court of Law, or the Congress, to get the information back up and to have the transparency that's existed for some time and was a win for everyone.
Is Ohio one of those states that collects this kind of data or not?
They are. Ohio does collect that sort of data, but you have to do a Freedom of Information Act request in most of these states to get the information. And how responsive agencies are to those and how timely those requests are answered can vary widely, but it's really not a good way to do things if you're trying to get anything done with information that's relatively current.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the USDA decision to purge data. If you have a question from its website, if you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also check out our Facebook page and post your question or comment there. You just heard from John Goodwin. He's senior director of the Stop Puppy Mills campaign at the Humane Society of the United States. Also, Christopher Berry is with us. Christopher Berry is a staff attorney for the Animal Legal Defense Fund. Christopher, we lost you for a second there. You were talking about the lawsuit that the Animal Legal Defense Fund, along with a coalition of other organizations, has filed against the USDA challenging this purge. You said that one issue was the refusal to post to affirmatively disclose what will be posted in the future. What else?
Yeah, glad to be back. So the basis of the lawsuit is that they violated both the Freedom of Information Act by refusing to disclose information. The Freedom of Information Act requires agencies to affirmatively disclose information that has been requested multiple times. And in fact, the agency in the past has even said that inspection reports and some of these other records have been requested multiple times. In addition to that, we're also challenging their decision to purge the records from the database for the same reason. And in addition to the Freedom of Information Act, we are suing them under the Administrative Procedure Act, which prohibits agencies from making arbitrary and capricious actions.
Was it arbitrary, though? I mean, there was this review, this larger review going on over the past year, they said, that was, you know, started during the Obama administration. Were you aware of that?
No, I don't think anyone is aware that any sort of high-level review of their information disclosure was happening. And I haven't seen any indication what that decision-making process was, what they decided, or even what their reasoning is. Aside from a sort of vague and mysterious statement on their website that they were that they made this decision based on their commitment to transparency and privacy, they haven't given their reasons for doing this. And frankly, I can't imagine what reason they would have to make this decision. And any sort of problems that you could imagine with the information being put out could easily be resolved with some minor redactions to the documents or some minor review process. This is the equivalent of using a chainsaw where a scalpel would have been appropriate.
Yeah, and you're referring, of course, to the Tennessee Walking Horses lost the people that own the Tennessee Walking Horses lawsuit against the USDA for disclosing the information, I guess their addresses and phone numbers and that sort of thing. You're saying that could have easily been redacted instead of shutting down all of the data.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And in fact, the USDA already redacts some private information, such as the name of the some of the identifying information of the person who did the inspection. So clearly the agency already has some process in place to make those types of redactions, and I cannot fathom any reason why they wouldn't just apply that same process to satisfy these concerns.
John Goodwin, even with entities such as the Animal Welfare Act and the Horse Protection Act already in place, I mean, there's the regulations, the enforcement still going on. Do you have any doubt of that?
No, the enforcement is currently going on. Two things. One, we know that the president's budget that was submitted to the Congress calls for some pretty dramatic cuts to all of these agencies that work domestically. So I'm worried that they're going to be cutting the USDA inspection officers as well. I mean, we'll just have to see what their budget says, but I think there's a lot of reasons to be concerned. Second, I want to address this privacy argument that the tiny handful of supporters of this decision are making. It's such a canard. The number one trade group for commercial dog breeders or puppy millers in this country is the Missouri Pet Breeders Association. They're the largest one. And if you go to their website, which you can easily find by Googling Missouri Pet Breeders Association, you'll see that they have their 2016-2017 membership directory posted for download. It lists all 500 of their members who are these commercial dog breeders, complete with all of the information, more information than you would ever get on one of these inspection reports, not just addresses and names, but also phone numbers, email addresses, and so on. So clearly, they're not that worried about privacy when their number one trade group is putting all of their contact information on the internet for anyone to see and download. The fact is, this is really about one thing and one thing only. It's about protecting people who have abused animals, gotten caught, and don't want their customers to know about it.
Right. So the Trump administration officials are saying that this was something that was started in the last administration. I asked Christopher Berry about whether he was aware of it. Were you aware of this evaluation going on or this review, comprehensive review going on for the last year?
Well, I know that the former spokesperson for the USDA in the last administration tweeted that they had considered this purge and then decided it was a bad idea and decided not to do it. His name is Matt Herrick, and he tweeted this in mid-February for anyone who wants to look up his Twitter account and see for sure. I mean, clearly you've got a bunch of finger-pointing going on because nobody wants to actually own this decision. It's such a bad idea that the Trump folks blame the Obama folks blame the Trump folks, and the only people that are actually celebrating this decision are groups like Protect the Harvest and the Cavalry Group who, I mean, listen, those folks have never seen an animal cruelty law that they don't object to. Both of those organizations were heavily involved. In fact, Protect the Harvest spent $250,000 to defeat a ballot initiative in North Dakota in 2012. And all this ballot initiative would do was strengthen penalties for people who torture a dog, cat, or horse. There is a complete exemption in this for every industrial use of animals, whether it be agriculture or research or some sort of entertainment venue. It only applied to dogs, cats, and horses, but they opposed it. The only people who benefit from weaker penalties for that are the people who are actually engaging in sadistic treatment of animals. So that shows just how extreme the viewpoint is of these organizations. They're the only ones who actually want their fingerprints on this.
Christopher Berry, going back to the lawsuit that the coalition, along with the Animal Legal Defense Fund, has filed against the USDA over this, have they responded in any way? I mean, where is that in the pipeline now?
We filed our lawsuit a couple weeks ago, and we're expecting an answer later this month from the USDA. So we haven't had any response from them yet and haven't been in court. So there could be, you know, depending on how the litigation goes and when exactly, you know, we file motions or when they file motions, you know, we could start to see some action as soon as a couple weeks from now or, you know, as late as a couple months from now. But it'll be sometime this spring, I imagine.
And you said that the lawsuit that was filed that some speculate triggered this purge, that's been dropped now.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. John Goodman?
Yeah, we don't know what the terms of the settlement were, though. I mean, it's kind of just mysteriously
dropped.
There was
a settlement? That's what I'm confused about.
Well, that a lot of people are confused because they've been very mysterious.
Yeah.
And what we've been worried about is that there'd be that the USDA would rush in there, agree to the worst settlement possible, say they'd have some paperwork they could throw around to excuse the inexcusable behavior of purging all this data. But we don't know. I mean, there's not a lot of information out there about what happened when that lawsuit was dismissed.
Once again, if you have questions or comments, give us a call, 614-292-8513. Science Magazine has reported that the USDA data purge has made strange bedfellows of groups that support the use of animals in biomedical research and the animal rights and welfare community that opposes use of animals in biomedical research. Can you talk a little bit about that, John Goodman? Are you familiar with that notion that suddenly you're on the same side?
Yeah, I mean, here you have some of the biggest representatives of the regulated industries that are agreeing that the information should be up there. We've seen the Foundation for Biomedical Research, the Association of Zoos and Aquarium, Petland, which is the largest seller of commercially raised puppies, even the Pet Industry Joint Advisory Council put out some sort of statement that was kind of milquetoast, but it was generally pro-transparency. So that really should say something here. I mean, you've got groups that are normally at odds on a number of policy debates who are, you know, unanimous that, hey, this information should be up on the Internet. It should be available for people to see. Transparency is a good thing. The only folks that are celebrating this decision are a handful of organizations that are just way out on the fringes.
And once again, I just want to remind listeners that we did invite two animal enterprise organizations, the Cavalry Group and Protect the Harvest, which supported the action by the FDA. There are others. These are two of the more well-known. They also declined, along with the USDA, an invitation to participate in the conversation. So, researchers are worried, right, Christopher Berry, that the public might think that they have something to hide.
Yeah, you definitely see two sort of strains of thought. You have some people who are pro-transparency, who understand really that by engaging in secrecy and by supporting secrecy, that they're really just hurting their own selves and their own interests and sort of the broader public relations battle. And then you have opportunists like the Cavalry Group and some of these other organizations that seem to really relish in the secrecy and being able to conceal what's going on at their facilities and facilities that they support.
You know, this lawsuit that was filed by the owners of the Tennessee Walking Horses, I guess two lawyers, it surprised me if that was what triggered it, because I really haven't thought about Tennessee Walking Horses very much since I was, you know, in grade school and junior high and rode horses myself. I mean, that's a really small number of people, isn't it, that are interested at that level?
Yeah, I think it's a small industry. I mean, it's certainly relegated to a specific region. You know, Tennessee and Kentucky are kind of like the hot areas for these Tennessee Walking Horse shows. They do have some powerful supporters in Congress. The Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has done everything he can to stop movement of the PAST Act, which is designed to strengthen the prohibitions on horse soaring, which is where they use chemicals and other agents to sore the horse's ankles, and then they'll put chains around the ankles so that it'll be irritating and cause the horse to walk with an exaggerated gait in these horse shows. I mean, I can't think of a sillier reason to hurt an animal than to judge him by having an exaggerated gait when he walks, but there are a handful of people who just happen to be in the home states of some key senators. So the issue, despite being not the biggest use of animals, just because of the sheer amount of suffering involved, combined with some of the strength of senators from some of those home states, has made this into a much bigger battle than it ever needed to be.
And just another, going back to the biomedical research industry that is also opposed to this purge, they're worried that it makes it harder to keep tabs on trends in research. I mean, in general, there's just a lot of information that is used for a lot of different purposes in this that's been lost. And what you're saying, Christopher Berry, is that there's no sense about when it might be returned, if ever.
Yeah, that's correct. The USDA has been keeping its cards very close to its chest, not disclosing when, if ever, it will release more information, and frankly, not even committing to keep that information, which it has reposted. It hasn't committed to keep that online either. So it's a total mystery exactly what the USDA's policy is, what it plans to do going forward. I think you see that with this high-level decision-making last year, you know, being, you know, totally secret, as far as I can tell, the USDA's vague announcement, not really explaining why it was making the decision, and also, you know, its refusal to come on this program or to be more forthright about what exactly is going on.
Are these records that have been purged, have they taken them off the public records list? I mean, this is a statutory issue, isn't it? I mean, can you still do a Freedom of Information Act request for the records, but they're not posted on, or can you not get them at all?
You can do a Freedom. Yeah, I mean, it'll take a year.
Yeah, it is a prolonged process, but they're not saying at this point that they aren't public records.
Well, but there's something. Well, first off, and Christopher may have some more to add to this, but they have said early on that they were going to be reviewing what would be available for the FOIA process as well. So I'm not sure that we can count on that. But there's some other things to point to. I mean, look, you've got seven states and a handful of municipalities that have laws that say that pet stores cannot acquire puppies from commercial breeders who have certain animal welfare violations on these inspection reports. Well, you've got animal control agencies who need to have a way to access those inspection reports to see if the local pet stores are following the law. And when they're having to rely on a Freedom of Information Act request, they're not going to be able to get these records in a timely manner. Some store could be violating that law, but the statute of limitations expire before animal control can acquire the records, because of how long the it takes. I mean, the APHIS has got 20, which is a section of USDA, has 22 staffers total to respond to Freedom of Information Act requests. Now, at the beginning of this year, they had nearly 600 backlogged requests to answer, nearly 600. Now you've got a ton of information that is no longer available on the Internet. So people are going to have to do FOIA requests. So that backlog of 600, in that current environment, it takes like a year to get these things answered. Imagine how long it's going to take to get these requests answered when it's a backlog of 2,000 requests.
And with no understanding yet of what sort of personnel cuts are ahead as well.
Add that to the mix. This is a train wreck.
We're going to continue our conversation about the USDA's decision to purge its website of massive amounts of public records used to judge all kinds of animal operations, from zoos to laboratories to puppy breeders. That's John Goodwin you just heard. He's senior director of the Stop Puppy Mills campaign at the Humane Society of the United States. Also with us, Christopher Berry, staff attorney for the Animal Legal Defense Fund, which is part of a coalition that's filed a lawsuit against the USDA over this action. The USDA has declined an invitation to participate in the conversation. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. Today we're talking about the United States Department of Agriculture's decision on February 3rd to shut down, they didn't shut down the database, but they purged it of most of the records of animal abuse. The move has triggered a lawsuit against the USDA, which has since restored a bit of the data. The USDA declined an invitation to participate in the conversation. We also invited two animal enterprise organizations, the Cavalry Group and Protect the Harvest, which supported the purge. They also declined our invitation. Still with us by phone is a senior director of the Stop Puppy Mills campaign at the Humane Society of the United States, John Goodwin. Also by phone, staff attorney for the Animal Legal Defense Fund, Christopher Berry. If you have a question or comment about this, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org, or check out our Facebook page. One group, speaking of research, has started uploading annual USDA reports to its website, and another website called the Memory Board has announced that it will republish as much as it can of the missing reports. Are there other efforts out there like this, Christopher Berry?
Yeah, I'm aware of some scattered efforts. I believe that that PETA uploaded all of its inspection reports that it's been collecting over many years. So there certainly are some moves to make this information available, notwithstanding the USDA's decision. However, many problems still arise, including the amount of time that it will take to get those records from a Freedom of Information Act request, mm-hmm. Which, as we've discussed, could be over a year in some cases. And additionally, like you're really relying on sort of trusting the people who are uploading those records and their ability to be thorough and not to miss anything. So that's no substitute for the agency doing what it's supposed to do under the Freedom of Information Act.
And plus, I would imagine ordinary people don't really know where to go to look for a lot of this stuff anyways. The USDA was a good catch-all.
That's correct. It's decentralized. It's not a searchable database like the USDA has already developed. So it just not an adequate substitute.
John Goodwin, was it a good database? I mean, was it very useful to ordinary people?
Yeah, it was. If you were, so a number of states would require that pet stores put the breeder name and USDA license number on every cage in the store. And so a customer could go in there, Google that information, and see where does that puppy's mother live? Is the place that where the mother lives had any sort of animal welfare violations? Now, the standards that these commercial breeders are asked to follow are incredibly weak. I mean, they could keep a dog in a cage that's only 6 inches longer than her body, and her paw may never touch grass, and they'd be completely compliant. But there were still some who engaged in such horrific neglect and cruelty that they would get cited. And it was important for people to easily be able to acquire that information. And listen, I don't think that people should be going into pet stores to buy puppies. I think they should be going to shelters and rescues and that sort of thing and getting homeless animals. But if someone is going to go into one of these stores and spend $2,500, surely they have a right to that sort of information before parting with such a large amount of money.
Donna in Medina, you're on the air. Hi, Donna.
Good morning. I'm hoping that Jim or John or Christopher or both could give a few specific examples of how valuable that extensive database has been over the years to the animal movement in protection or campaigns that have improved conditions for animals that are in some of these facilities.
Christopher Berry?
I have a very good example. The Animal Legal Defense Fund sued a roadside zoo in Iowa. So this is sort of a not like a city zoo, but just what some people had, and built a case against them for violating the Endangered Species Act based on inspection reports that we got from the USDA. And we ultimately went to trial, and a judge said that facility was violating the Endangered Species Act, at least with regards to the endangered species at that zoo. That's the Cricket Hollow Zoo. And what's important about that is that the USDA also regulates that facility under the Animal Welfare Act. And it had not, you know, prior to our lawsuit, it had not done, you know, anything to remove those animals or to really bring justice to bear on that facility. And so being able to access that information and sort of take things into our own hands was instrumental in getting that decision that they were violating the Endangered Species Act, and those animals are no longer at that facility because of that lawsuit.
What about you, John Goodwin?
Well, that information has been used similarly with puppy mills. Just in 2016 alone, seven different large-scale commercial dog breeding operations were shut down by the USDA after we analyzed the inspection reports, found that some of these places were just getting away with murder, slap on the wrist. So we'd complain, and we'd lobby the USDA, and we'd say, hey, look, your own inspectors are citing for all sorts of horrific acts of neglect, dogs who have injuries and illnesses that are not being treated, who are living in unsafe housing. You've got to get in there and act on the information that your own inspectors are recording. And they did. I mean, a number of these places were shut down last year because that information was made available. We processed it. We went back to USDA and pointed out what their own people were saying and urged them to do more than just hand out a slap on the wrist. And some really awful places were shut down as a result. Now we can't do that.
I'm also wondering, I can't remember if it was Christopher or John said that there are just about 22 people that process Freedom of Information Act requests for records across the country. And I was wondering about what its enforcement, the numbers of enforcement people they have working for them as well. Because I'm wondering just about the amount of data we're talking about. So how much is going on out there? How much churn is there? How much is it updated? Is there any kind of sense, Christopher Perry, you can give a Barry, that you can give us about how much information?
I think on average about the USDA does about one inspection for each regulated facility every year. So out of all of the research facilities, animal exhibitors, breeders such as puppy mills and so forth. It's my sense, I think, that the USDA does about one inspection per year. So that's a lot of data generated. Now, yeah. if there are serious violations that are detected, the USDA will often follow up sometimes multiple times in that same year to make sure that those serious violations are corrected. So sometimes we'll see much more than just one inspection per year. But you can imagine that is a lot of inspection reports.
Uh-huh. And so and when they post them, I mean, how promptly are they posted? How soon do you know when something's been updated?
Within about a month.
That's pretty good. But now you don't know anything.
That's right. And we've, in fact, after the decision to purge this information occurred, the Animal Legal Defense Fund submitted a FOIA request for all that information, and we've been filing weekly requests for, any sort of new information, and we still have not received any records back from the USDA.
So have you received any response?
Only an acknowledgement that they've received our request.
Which is what they have to do by law.
Yeah, that usually happens sort of automatically within about a day. So whereas we would have had all that information for the last month, we don't have any of it now.
We have an email from Elizabeth. She writes, "The big concern here is that so many things are rapidly changing under the Trump administration. The public can't keep up with how it really impacts them. Issues like the USDA data purge may not seem like a big deal, but it really is. Not only is this about exposing horrible animal abuse, but it's also about calling attention to criminal entities that continue to break federal laws and also endanger human lives. How can the public have our voices heard in support of your lawsuit efforts, and how do we stay informed of its progress in the courts?" Christopher Barry?
You can follow organizations like Animal Legal Defense Fund on social media as a way to sort of stay up to date with that information, and certainly we, you know, think it's important to intervene and do whatever we need to do in the face of a oftentimes hostile government, whether it's you know, one administration or another. A lot of times, animals, unfortunately, are the ones who are, you know, they don't have a seat at the table. They're not able to speak. So, you know, follow groups like Animal Legal Defense Fund, you know, support us, and we'll, you know, keep fighting.
I think it might be John Goodwin, you mentioned that the Tennessee Walking Horses, or it might have been Christopher Berry, but they have allies in the, you know, the likes of Mitch McConnell out of Kentucky. What about you guys? I mean, who are your allies in Congress when it comes to this issue? John Goodwin?
Well, there's 118 members of the House and Senate who signed letters urging the USDA to put the data back up. There was a Senate letter with, I think, 17 senators, and a House letter with 101. And, you know, there's a lot of supporters on both sides of the aisle that want this information back up there. I mean, this data purge is a political loser. We're in a society that is emphasizing more and more openness, more and more information being available, the democratization of information. But yet, with these animal industries, we have people who want data purge, that want to criminalize people taking videotape of animal cruelty in certain businesses, who want to enact constitutional amendments in states that prohibit future legislatures from setting any standard for farming operations. These troglodytes are completely out of touch with the direction that the country's going, and they're going to be left behind. But the question is, how much damage are they going to be able to do in the meantime? We have to stand up to them. We have to lobby our members of Congress to do the right thing. We have to be engaged citizenry. Otherwise, it can get a lot worse before it gets a lot better.
What do you think, Christopher Berry?
I completely echo that. There is certainly an entrenched sort of animal exploiting industry that has really been pushing back hard against progress that we've made. Public opinion is on the side of animal protection, and increasingly the law is on that side as well. But we are seeing this sort of backlash. The USDA purge is one example of that. There are, you know, other efforts as well, like laws criminalizing the obtaining undercover footage at factory farms, and we just need to be there and be willing to resist them when they try to roll back the clock.
Well, I want to thank you both for joining us today. Christopher Berry, a staff attorney for the Animal Legal Defense Fund. It's part of a coalition that's filed a lawsuit against the USDA for the data purge. Thanks, Christopher, for joining us.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me on, and thanks for covering this important issue.
And John Goodwin, Senior Director of the Stop Puppy Mills Campaign at the Humane Society of the United States. John Goodwin, thanks to you as well.
Thank you for having me.
And I just want to remind listeners that the United States Department of Agriculture, which has authorized this purge, declined an invitation to participate in the conversation. We also invited two animal enterprise organizations, the Cavalry Group and Protect the Harvest, which supported the action by the FDA. They also declined. Thanks to the All Sides staff, producer Michael DeBonis, assistant producer Shia Lanott, All Sides interns Sarah Stacy, Kyle McKinnon, and Emily Sink, with video production by Rich Blue and Amber Blue. Kyle McKinnon produced this show. Alan DiCenzo is the composer of our theme music. WOSU News and Public Affairs Director Mike Thompson, Radio Operations Director Kevin Petrilla, Senior Broadcast Technician Eric French. Check us out on Facebook. Follow the show on Twitter at WOSU All Sides. You can follow me, too, at Ann Fisher, WOSU. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.